Second reading is from Mark's Gospel. It's on page 1035, chapter 16, starting at verse 1. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the woman went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Pam and Antonio. Friends, please do keep that Bible reading open. And let's pray before we have a consider of it. Our Father God, we do thank you for your word to us. We thank you for this truth which is contained in it. We pray as we consider this wonderful day, this day that Jesus has risen from the dead, that that might speak to our fears and our worries, and that we might find comfort and confidence. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Imagine you're reading or watching The Lord of the Rings, and you decide to, for some reason, just stop at the point before which the ring is cast into the fires of Mount Doom. You just give up and just move on at that point. You got so far and you stop there. Or Pride and Prejudice, you're reading or watching that and you turn it off before Elizabeth accepts Darcy's proposal. Or you're watching Star Wars and you go to the other room just after Luke fires for torpedoes. Or you're watching Romeo and Juliet and you take a phone call when Romeo is sitting at Juliet's side in the crypt. It's unsatisfying. It's not an end. And it's kind of what we see just here in Mark's Gospel. Let's talk about it. In these eight verses of Mark chapter 16, it's the end of Mark's Gospel. And the first seven verses, everything is going as you'd expect. If you're familiar with the story, everything ticks its boxes. So it's Mary, and Salome very early on Sunday morning after the Sabbath, after Jesus has died the day before that. And they've come to the tomb. Tick. They're worrying about how they might roll the stone away because it's very large, and they find that the stone is rolled away and the tomb is empty. Tick. And wondering what's going on, they meet an angel. And the angel says, "He's not here, he's risen." Tick. We know all this. And the angel says, go and tell the disciples. Go and say, he's risen, and he's going to see you in Galilee like he told you. Tick. That all feels very normal up to verse 7. And then we get to verse 8. The final words of the book of Mark. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Full stop, roll credits. That's strange. It's so strange that in church history there have been various attempts to put an end to the book of Mark. As you can see in your Bibles, you'll see one ending, which is verses 9 to 20 in italics. And then there's another ending of alternate verses kind of 9 onwards in your footnotes. And there are other different options out there, but the earliest and best manuscripts seem to show the end of Mark is the end of verse 8. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Isn't that unsatisfying? Where's Jesus? What happened next? What did they do? Didn't they go and tell someone? What are we supposed to do with this? It's a very strange way for this book to finish. And therefore, it can feel strange for us to be considering this one on this day of all days, Easter Sunday, as we remember Jesus risen from the dead. We're taking a reading which doesn't actually have the words of the risen Jesus in it. It's just saying, he's risen, he's not here, go and find him, and go and tell people about him. And these women don't. It's very strange. But how might it be helpful for us as we consider Jesus back for good this Easter? Looking at that problem verse in verse 8, you see that there are two things that the women are doing which are the opposite of what they've been told to do. Mary, Mary, and Salome have been told by this angel, if you look at verse 6, two things to do. One, don't be alarmed. Two, go and tell Peter and the other disciples. So don't be alarmed, don't be afraid, and go and talk about it. And what are they doing in verse 8? They're afraid and they're not talking about it. So what is Mark doing here by giving us this ending? What are we supposed to do? How is this to help us think about Jesus? Well, we're going to think about this in terms of the fear that they have here and what that might say. And then we'll think a bit about what confidence we can have despite this fear. So let's first of all think about that fear. Verse 8, Mary, Mary and Salome are afraid. They are trembling. They're bewildered. And the question is, why are they afraid? Well, to be afraid in the book of Mark, you're in good company. There are lots of times when people are afraid. And as you look at them, as we're about to do a quick tour of these instances when they're afraid, there's a common thread which goes all the way through. So we'll talk about three groups of people who are afraid in Mark's gospel. And the first one is the disciples, Jesus' close friends who traveled with him, who ate with him, who saw his miracles, who heard his teaching. And the first instance, they're on a boat in a storm on Lake Galilee, and it's chucking it down, and it's blowing, and the boat is sinking, and they're desperate, and Jesus is asleep. And they're trying to wake Jesus up. And they're saying, wake up, help us. Maybe help us by bailing out more water from the boat. Or do something, Jesus, but he's asleep. Don't you care if we drown? Jesus wakes up. He rebukes the wind and he rebukes the waves and the storm stops in a moment. And then Jesus turns and rebukes his disciples. And he said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? They were terrified and they asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. They're afraid of the storm. Jesus calmed the storm. Now they're afraid of Jesus. This happens again in chapter 6. They're on a boat again, in a storm again, on Lake Galilee again, gluttons for punishment. But this time Jesus isn't in the boat with them, which you think is the one lesson to learn from the previous time is that you keep Jesus with you. But he's not in the boat with them. They're in the storm and they see a figure walking to them on the water. And it's Jesus walking to them on the water. And they cry out, because they all saw him and were terrified. And immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, take courage, it's me, it's I, don't be afraid. Once again, they're seeing Jesus and his power over nature, his divine power, doing only what God can do, and they're afraid. That's interesting. And the disciples are afraid again in chapter 9 when Jesus is on the top of a mountain and he's transfigured. He's shown in his divine glory, and Moses and Elijah are there, and Peter doesn't know what to say or what to think, and he makes a funny comment about tents, and it says he didn't know what to say because they were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud, this is my son whom I love, listen to him. So they see Jesus in his glory, they see Jesus in his power, and they're afraid. Interesting. They're afraid again a couple of times when Jesus is walking with them to Jerusalem and he's telling them why they're going to Jerusalem. He's saying because he's going to suffer and die. He's going to be betrayed. He's going to be crucified. He is going to rise again. And later on in chapter 9, they didn't understand what he meant and they were afraid to ask him about it. Jesus is revealing to them what he is about, what he's come to do, and they're afraid. Same again in the next chapter, Mark chapter 10. They're on the way up to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way, and the disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid. Jesus determined to do his mission, to do his work, to die. They're afraid. His disciples are very afraid, and it's got a lot to do with Jesus. Let's now think about another group, the observers of around, not in a group of disciples, but other people who see Jesus. And you see three occasions in chapter 5. The first one, they're nearby the lake, and they've come across a man who's spent his life terrorizing everyone around him. He's influenced, possessed by a legion of demons, and he can't be chained. and he causes so much bother and so much fear. And Jesus comes and he casts out this legion of demons. And he casts the demons out into a herd of pigs, and the herd of pigs go rushing off the cliff into the lake and are destroyed. And then the pig herds, the people who look after the pigs, they come and they see what's happened, and here's what it describes. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They had feared the man. They've now seen the power of Jesus, and they're afraid. They're so afraid that they ask Jesus to leave that region. They kick him out. They're that afraid. Later on in chapter 5, Jesus is making his way to heal a sick girl, the daughter of a synagogue ruler. And as he's traveling in the crowds, a woman who's been sick, subject to bleeding for 12 years, she tries to touch Jesus so that she can be healed, and she is healed. And Jesus stops and does everything you don't want to happen to you when you don't want attention drawn to you. He says, "Hey, everyone, look at this." And then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. She'd seen Jesus' power. She'd experienced Jesus' power to save, his power over sickness. She was afraid. And while this is happening, it turns out that the synagogue ruler's daughter has died, and they're working out what to do about that, and Jesus says to the father, "Don't be afraid. Believe. Don't be afraid. Just believe." So here again, we've seen it with disciples. They see Jesus' power, his identity, his mission, and they're afraid. Now you have his observers responding to what Jesus is doing, seeing his power, and they're afraid. And even Jesus' enemies, the religious authorities who wanted Jesus dead. Chapter 11, we heard last week, as Jesus came into Jerusalem triumphant on a donkey, and then he goes and he cleanses the temple. And the religious leaders, when they hear about this, and they began looking for a way to kill him, for they feared him. They were afraid of Jesus because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching. They see who Jesus is, this figure, this king with a kingdom of a people, and they're afraid of him. All these occasions of fear in the Gospel of Mark, in this book, and every single time it's got to do with Jesus. It all turns on Jesus. When you see what Jesus is like, when you see who he is, when you see his power over nature, over sickness, over evil, over death and life, over the crowds, they respond with fear. And so what is happening here in Mark 16 when these women, Mary, Mary and Salome, are afraid? Well, what have they seen? They've seen Jesus' power over death. He'd been killed. They'd seen it with their own eyes. They were witnesses to his death. They'd seen him been buried. And now they see the tomb is empty. Now they see he's not here. Now they see an angel saying he has risen, just as he told you. And they're afraid. Because what's more fearsome than seeing the true power of God to conquer even death? Jesus has conquered death. So maybe there's something right about this kind of fear, a right response of fear, because that is how we should respond to something so powerful and so wondrous. Not every fear is negative, and not everything that is feared is a negative thing either. You can fear that which is beautiful and powerful. An example of this is if you were to go to Arthur's Pass on the way to the West Coast. There are two wonderful locations there which sound pretty fearful. The first one is Devil's Punch Bowl Falls. Doesn't sound very nice, does it? It's beautiful. And you go to the foot of that, and you see the waterfall, and you feel the water coming off, and at its most powerful, yes, it will take your breath away. It will make you shake in your boots to be that close. And then you could go up across the valley and up Avalanche Peak, another pretty fearful sounding place, and it's beautiful if you're willing to walk that steep and that long to get there, and you're looking at the valleys around, and you're looking at the precipice below, and it's enough to take your breath away, to make you shake in your boots. It's fearful, it's not a negative thing, it's beautiful, it's powerful. How much more should we have our breath taken away? Should we shake in our boots because Jesus had conquered death? The grave could not contain him. That which has stopped every single other person in all of history, stopped by death, but not Jesus. He's conquered death. He's out of the grave. Wow! That should make us fear. And maybe that's something as a challenge for us. Maybe we're not used to thinking of Jesus in this way. If you're thinking of Christmas baby Jesus or gentle Jesus meek and mild with a lamb hanging over his shoulders, it's hard to think how we can properly fear him. But this is the power that he has, power even over death, power to conquer the grave. We should fear him. But that fear is a confident fear. It's a fear that leads to confidence. It is not a fear that leads to despair. And so we're back to verse 8, Mark 16. As Mark finishes this book in this way, it seems to be finished for a reason this way. It leaves you with a question. What will you do? What are you going to do with the death of Jesus? What are you going to do with your fear of the power of Jesus? What will you do? Will you be confident and speak and believe? Or will you despair and remain silent and push it away? I love that we have this ending here at Mark 16. How do we know that the women were afraid and not saying anything to anyone? How do we know that? How did Mark know that to write it down? He knew it because they went and told someone. They didn't keep it to themselves forever, otherwise it wouldn't be here. They went and told someone, and so we know this isn't the end of the story, even as it's the end of Mark's gospel. They did go and tell. The disciples did go to Galilee. They did meet Jesus. They didn't stay silent and afraid, but here it is, the book finishing at this point. What will they do? What will you do? Will we speak with confidence? Will we fear with confidence? There is much that we can have confidence in, even as we read these words. You look at verse 7, the last thing that the angel says to the women, just as he told you. You will see him just as he told you. There's so much confidence in those words, just as Jesus told you. Jesus' word. Thinking about all those examples before of people afraid, and we saw how it all turned on Jesus, his identity, his power, his work. And each time, we see that confidence can come in those situations because of the word of Jesus. For instance, when Jesus is walking on the water to them in the boat, and he says, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. It's Jesus' word which gives confidence. Likewise, as they're afraid, trying to work out what it means for Jesus to be going to die in Jerusalem, it's his word which is explaining what's happening. This is what he's come to do. Or as they're there on the top of the mountain and they see Jesus in his divine glory, and it's God's word, as God says, this is my son whom I love. Listen to him. Listen to his word. That gives confidence. So here, as we see these women terrified as they see the power of Jesus, well, it's just as he told you. You will see him. Take confidence in his word. Take confidence in this truth. Trust what you read and read more of it to know that Jesus has conquered death. We can be confident. It's not even just what Jesus said. Three times he predicted his death and resurrection in Mark's gospel, plus another time when he said he'd see them in Galilee. But even that other reading that we had this morning, Psalm 16, which Antonio read, which was written by King David. And King David says in Psalm 16 about God not abandoning his soul to the grave, but not letting his Holy One see decay. And as Peter says at Pentecost, David wrote that psalm, but David's tomb is round the corner. David's dead and buried. David was a prophet. He wasn't speaking about himself. He was speaking about Jesus. God would not let Jesus see decay. He would not abandon Jesus to the grave. Jesus is risen from the dead, just as God planned and promised. Just as he told you. We can have so much confidence in this being true because of the word of God which speaks to us. Jesus is risen from the dead. So let us be confident in our fear. Let us not despair. And when we think about our fear, and there's one thing that our culture fears most of all, it's something we thought about a few weeks ago in Hebrews 2. It's that fear of death. Our culture, our society definitely fears death because we won't talk about it. We don't want to witness it. We hide it. When we have it shown in movies and television, it's sensationalized. It's got music behind it. It somehow softens the impact of it. When we saw our nation, our world's response to COVID, it revealed a lot about how our society feels about death, how afraid of it we are. Because death stings. Death hurts. Think about the things we treasure so much, the work that we've done, the relationships that we have, the dreams that we have for the future. They're all taken away from us by death. Death hurts. Death stings. And Jesus has conquered death. He is not here. He is risen. Jesus has conquered death, never to die again. He has true life. And we can live in him. That should give us great confidence, even as we face death. There are wonderful words at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is a chapter in the Bible which is very long and very wonderful to read on Easter Sunday. It's all about the resurrection and the hope that we have. And at the end of 1 Corinthians 15, it says, "Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Death has been defeated. We have a hope of life through death, life beyond death, the return of Jesus, and where we will all be changed. This is the hope that we have through Easter. He is risen. Praise the Lord. So what will we do then? That question that Mark asks us by finishing his book in this way, with these Mary, Mary and Salome trembling and unable to say anything because they're afraid. Is that what we will do? Or with our fear, will we turn to Jesus with confidence? Will we believe in him? Will we proclaim him, talk about him with others? If you're still sitting on the fence, if you're still trying to work it out, then please consider it carefully. Make sure, if even if there's a 1% chance this has happened, you want to make sure, you want to look into it. You want to be careful about it. Read a Gospel of Mark. We have some red Gospels of Mark on the table at the back. Read about the history of Jesus. There's a book, Is Jesus History, on the table at the back, if they weren't all taken on Friday. I think there's still some left. Talk to someone that you've come with. Come on that Introducing God course that I spoke about earlier. Ask your questions. You want to be sure, did this happen? Jesus came back for good. Let that give us confidence, even in the face of death. This is massive. We can have great hope. He is risen. Let me pray. Our Father God, we thank you for the joy, the life that we have in Jesus Christ, because he is risen from the dead, just as he promised. Just according to your work and for what you sent him to do, to die for our sins, that he might take our place, that we might be forgiven and our guilt taken away, that we might have the hope of eternal life, that even death cannot separate us from you, for Jesus is risen from the dead. Father, please take our fears and lead us not into despair, but into great confidence in Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.